Good morning and welcome to episode 245 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News, back home in Deutschland. Yep. So it goes. Back home from Istanbul. And it was a pretty entertaining trip. At the EuroLeague Final Four, the Adidas Next Generation Tournament, and getting around Istanbul, back and forth from the arena to the hotel. That's all I did. People might be wondering if I got to see anything. No. Just the hotel and the gym. That's it. That's all often it is, but that's okay. I don't complain getting paid to go and watch basketball. High-level basketball. Some fantastic stuff. But let's put that on hold for a second. Just want to let you know how you get in contact with the show if you want to reach out to me. Probably the easiest way is via Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. There's the Facebook group, Taking the Charge Podcast. Put that in the search bar, Taking the Charge Podcast, and you will find the group. There is the Patreon page, Taking the Charge. If you want to pledge your support to the show, you can go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. Go to the email address, hinnews@gmx.de. www.hinnews.com is the website. Rate and review the show on iTunes. Yeah, I guess that's it. So EuroLeague Final Four, Istanbul. I wasn't totally. I didn't feel non-safe there, but you know, it's a matter of being in big cities nowadays, and I don't know how I would feel if I went to Paris. I don't feel at all a problem when I'm in Berlin. If I'm in London, I don't know how the bigger cities I'll be. Tel Aviv I'll be in. Actually, next up will be, I guess next up is Treviso for me. And then later on will be Cairo, which I know a lot of people are worried about. NBA people, scouts people, and probably some of the players, parents of the under-19 FIBA Basketball World Cup in July. But no, not really concerned about that. Even Tel Aviv, I guess can't wait to go to Tel Aviv. It should be a pretty fascinating city. Definitely going to try to actually look around there. I've been to Istanbul 3 or 4 times, and so going there, checking out Istanbul, I didn't really have to do that. And Final Four, Fenerbahce, I had picked CSKA to beat Real Madrid, and they did. They did. CSKA Moscow beat Real Madrid. You cannot deny it. Of course, it was the third place game, and I picked it to be the final. And that was a bad third place game. They're always bad third place games. I think eventually that game will be taken off the program. Just, this late in the season, as many games as these guys have played, I just think it's a chance for them to get injured. So I kind of doubt that. I think that eventually they will take it out. Fenerbahce, you have to say, great story, great crowd, fantastic crowd. A little too energetic at times, but I don't think you can really complain about it. It was, home court advantage through and through. And they played some super freaking ball, man. Epke Umo deserved MVP. He was fantastic. Vesely, Bogdanovic, Kalinic, You know, they just were a step better. They just were more intense and great defense. Olympiacos, yeah, I would have rather had them win, not necessarily for my safety, because I think if they had won that game, that would have been, you know, especially if it would have been sort of a close game at the end and Fenerbahce would have lost. I really don't know how I would have felt safety-wise, but, you know, in that regard, happy that Fenerbahce won. I don't think that's really a good thing necessarily to think that, you know, just because I would fear for my safety that the other team would win, but, you know, fact is fact. And so it was, you know, it is what it is. CSK going down, Olympiacos. I don't necessarily think that it's this stigma of Olympiacos. You know, Olympiacos is a good team, and they have, you know, so many winners on that team that it's just the way, you know, it's a great team, you know, and they had beaten them twice during the season, so it's not really a shocker, or it shouldn't be a shocker. You know, I picked CSK just because that's who I thought would win, and, you know, Olympiacos ended up winning, and, you know, you gotta take it for what it is. I will admit, I obviously was, you know, watching the games, and but paying I would say a little bit less attention to that, just because by the time Friday came around, those semifinals, I had already watched four games. I think many of you might know, I did the play-by-play announcing of the Adidas Next Generation Tournament games. All those games are live we're all shown on YouTube. They're still available on YouTube. You can go back and check it out. Just put in EuroLeague basketball, and down below there's a link to all of the EuroLeague, the Adidas Next Generation Tournament items, videos, games, and interviews. And so I had done four games on Thursday and then another four games on Friday, and I was kind of beat. I have no problem admitting that. And you know, that it was, so just being at the EuroLeague Final Four of those games, you know, it was there was a lack of full concentration. So, you know, there's not a lot of memories of those games. Admittedly so. You know, it is what it is. And but, you know, still fantastic basketball, and I deserve a champions. You know, I mean, you have to say, you know, Fenerbahce did what they should do. You know, they earned the right, or bought their right to host the tournament, and the Final Four, and, you know, they put together according roster, you know, and put together the pieces over the, you know, a couple of years, and you know Obradovic is an absolutely amazing coach, and so much success over the years, and, you know, you have this fantastic group of players, and so it's only a matter of time, it would seem, before they break through. Happy for Turkish basketball that they did finally win. You know, and there should be no reason why they shouldn't go back to the Final Four. Okay, you have to look a little bit at what kind of roster they get coming back, but, you know, it's probably not going to be worse, and they'll just take a look at what they need and then go to fix that. I'm going to hand it over to the experts. And so if you want in-depth coverage, you know, review everything of the EuroLeague Final Four, go to Ball in Europe. Emmett and the guys over at eurohoops.net, you know, they did loads of shows and podcasts and videos. Go there. Go to EuroLeague Adventures. They did podcasts as well. So, you know, go to those guys if you want in-depth review. You know, it wasn't my focal point on the weekend. And so I don't want to I don't want to give too much. You know, those guys are so fantastic. And I just say, if you want to go, you know, even if you don't listen to them much, but you want to listen, you want to know how it was, go to those guys. Those guys are fantastic. That's what they concentrate on. And so I don't want to, you know, let them get their fair share. So if you want to listen to it, Ball in Europe or EuroLeague Adventures, go there because those guys are fantastic. And that's what they concentrate on. I will talk more about the DS Next Generation Tournament because that's what I did and that's what I focused on. So, you know, hey, CFPB Paris, you definitely have to tip your hat to them. They played fantastic basketball, team basketball, you know, big-time defense and sharing the ball. They averaged about 24 assists a game. They only turned the ball over 8 times in the final. You know, this combination of Yannick Blanc and Sofiane Briquet, Joel Ayayi, Maladon is just fantastic. And then you have Yvonne Fevrier, who ended up being MVP. Yvonne Blanc was also on the all-tournament team. Just that balance was just way, way too much. Goga Badadze was selected to the all-tournament team. He had a huge game. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have numbers in front of me, but I think 19 points, 20 rebounds, 10 offensive boards, 5 blocks, a couple of assists. So just, you know, he was a monster, but they just didn't have enough weapons. You know, Miskovic had a decent game. Nedeljkovic, who had produced, didn't quite do as much. He was okay. He wasn't fantastic, but didn't do quite as much as he had in other games. Jovicic was solid. They had a great game from Islamovic off the bench with 11, but just not enough other guys, especially since CFPB was just clicking and, you know, ended up being a 7-point win. And, you know, you never really had a doubt that they wouldn't win. You know, Badadze was playing really well, but, you know, just always had to feel like there was a couple of weapons missing, or a weapon and a half, whatever, if you will, missing from the Mega side. Probably the best game. You know, there were a couple of thrillers. You know, great. You know, lots of upsets. That first day was just, you know, looking back, you know, it's still kind of hard. CFPB clearly the best team, but, you know, rank the other teams in the tournament, it's a little bit difficult to figure out exactly who's what. You know, is Barcelona as bad as they looked in that first game when they lost by 19 to CFPB? Real Madrid ended up losing to Mega. You know, Real Madrid was my favorite to go to the title and win it. Looking back, that would have been a fascinating game. Real Madrid against CFPB. I still think CFPB would have won that game. Yeah, Shakiris is a little bit disappointing, but not in the regard, you know, you think that they didn't have their top guy, their captain, Ignas Sargunas, which was a huge loss. They had a chance to beat Mega, ended up losing by 1. But I'd say they were probably the most disappointing team. But then again, like I said, you know, they were missing their captain. Fenerbahce was at times very good, at times just not so good. As Fenerbahce, you know, you look at their main dude, that's Ahmet Chanduran, who's, you know, he's a great talent. And, you know, there's some people out there who aren't so, you know, super fond of him, and I understand, especially like a little bit of the attitude, his posture and whatnot, and sometimes his reaction to his teammates. Badadze as well, you have to definitely say, for as much talent as Badadze has, there's definitely some sort of, he's a very flamboyant guy and a guy who kind of is too flamboyant, too, you know, shows too much energy, also not positive energy towards opponents, towards teammates and whatnot. So Duran and Patace, two guys who are really good players, CSK Moscow, you know, they ended up losing in basically what amounted to be the semifinal, if you want to call it that. But, you know, they ended up losing to CFBB. You know, they got behind really big and then ended up coming back. I want to say they got it to four, but I can't remember exactly. Ended up losing by 12. That's CSKA is a really good team. You look at Ashov, you look at Umrihin, you can look at Okomenko, you look at Kosenkov, who was a lone player, Haldeev. Just a lot of good, especially guards. Haldeev's not a guard, but the other four are all guards. So a lot of weapons there. Radoncic with Real Madrid was clearly, I think, probably the best player here and at that tournament. It was on the all-tournament team, also deservedly so. Just took over games on his own. And he didn't have enough weapons either, though. So, and that was similar to last year's Real Madrid team. So, but they'll restock and they'll get some people in there. So Zvezda ended up losing three games, 0-3, and I don't think undeservingly so. Uskokovic is a fantastic player. He's a little too He's not tall enough. He's got great heart. He's got great fight and everything else. You know, great captain, and he'll be a very, very solid player as a professional and whatnot. But you know, there just wasn't enough. You know, this team wasn't good enough. This generation isn't good enough, and they know that. And I don't think that the Zvezda guys are necessarily so disappointed that they didn't get too far. They can see it, you know. It's not Simonich. It's not Radonov. It's another group of guys. So, you know, 2000, they have a couple of kids. Paunovic is a really good player, and so you know that's going to be what's interesting next year. See how much Paunovic changes his sort of how much he's going to take over games and stuff, especially because you had. Skokovic was so ball-centric that, you know, how does Paunovic then... What does Paunovic look like when he... when he takes control of games, when he has the ball in his hand a lot more? That's what's going to be kind of interesting with this with the Zvezda team for next year. Yeah, that's a rundown sort of... You know, Jokubaitis and Chagiris, I thought... maybe would produce a little bit more, being that he was the main guard then, although Venlinskas actually had a lot more time than I thought he would. I thought Jokubaitis was going to get the big-time minutes, and Venlinskas actually got quite a few more minutes than I thought he would. So, I guess that's about, you know, a pretty decent rundown. Again, you know, CFPB, you know, more than worthy champions. The second time they've won the championship, 2010, they beat FMP, who were going for a three-peat, and CFBB INSEP back then knocked them off. Mega, they lost a chance to continue the trend. If they had won, it would have been the eighth straight year that a team won for the first time. Eighth different champion, but so it ends at seven with CFPB bookending those champions. So yeah, I guess those are the main talking points that I wanted to address. Again, you know, if you watch the games, I would love to hear from you about it. You know, if you. Again, like I said, all those games are on YouTube and the EuroLeague basketball channel. So, you know, feel free to go check it out. The final is a little bit more difficult to find. You might need to put in your league, you know, Adidas Next Generation Tournament 2017 championship game into YouTube and find it. For some reason, they haven't connected. I forgot to mention that to them to connect that to that group of videos. So, but if you've watched it, or if you're gonna watch it, or you did, or you know, just let me know what you think. You know, because this was the first time I did it. The announcing, you know, the group stage games were a one man group, and then in the final, the championship game had a two man. And it's fun. It's neat. It gets you definitely much more concentrated and focused on the game, and you know, you don't have time to talk to other people, which obviously, you know, I enjoy doing, talking to scouts and agents and coaches, managers and stuff. But on the other hand, you know, you watch the game totally different and have a whole different experience. And so it's neat. It was really neat, and I enjoyed it. I know there's areas that I can improve upon, and you know, if I get a chance to do more of this later, and you know, it was a fantastic experience, and so we'll see. Maybe down the road I can do more of it. But I would love to hear your input if you do have a chance to go listen to any of the games. Listen, if you don't listen to the championship game, or if you want to listen to the championship game, you want to listen to another game, you know, I'd say that CFBB CSK Moscow game is a good one. Maybe the Mega Shagiris game is a good one. You know, kind of a close one. You don't go to the Real Madrid Fenerbahce game, because avoid also that first day. Just because I was so focused on getting names correct, like Johan Randaria Manajara or Eritrer, Ingela Mulume. So just, you know, would love to hear any input any of you guys might have. All right, so NBA. Maybe next week. I know I mentioned that before, you know, because next week I think we might have the two finalists. We might have the NBA final set by next week. I know the Warriors are sitting and waiting now, but we'll see. We'll see. Right now, as I'm recording this, I'm watching the Spanish U16 championship. You know, at the end their tournament, so that's on CanalFB.tv. So if you do want to watch that over the next couple days, I don't know what stage they are at, if it's a 16 now or and then quarterfinals, just I'm not sure exactly, but it is on that. So if you want to go check that out, 16, but there's a couple of interesting kids there. I don't know what Real Madrid has there. I don't know if Garuba is playing. So that's what I'm watching now. I'm waiting for the NBA Finals. I can't wait to watch those games. If, you know, not if, but when Cleveland get into the finals. Yeah, and then if we do talk some NBA, also maybe talk a little bit about the draft. I think Boston. You know, with them getting the first pick, I really think they should try to trade it, and maybe bring in a guy who can help them now. I don't think Markelle Fultz is, you know, a 19-year-old is going to really take them to the next level. It's not right now, at least not next season. You know, I really at the physicalness and the. You know, you saw it just at the EuroLeague Final Four. You know, to think like a 19-year-old being in the finals or helping out to get the team to the finals and the conference finals. You know, Fultz is not going to be there and help that. You know, so anyhow, I'm gonna get through the interviews now. Let's call them leftovers from the last couple of months. First of all is Luke Nelson from from England, GB. He caught him at the Reese's Junior All-Star game that was at the NCAA Final Four. Franz Wagner from Alba Berlin. He's an under 16 player from Germany, and he will probably be one of the leaders for Germany at the under 16 European Championship in Podgorica. Colin Sexton caught him at the Hoop Summit U17 World Cup MVP. And Hao Dai, 2002 born Chinese guard from Canarias Basketball Academy, CBA, caught him at the, where was CBA? They were, where were they? I can't remember where they were. One of the Ideas Next Generation tournaments. And then from COIN tournaments, from the COIN tournament, yes, correct. The Dasha Faka's Ola Stormer from Sweden. So Luke Nelson, Franz Wagner, Colin Sexton, Hao Dai, and Ola Stormer. Enjoy those, and we will catch you on the other side.
Luke, we're here at the Reese's All-Star Game. Maybe just your thoughts about playing in a game like this against, you know, with and against some, you know, great players all year.
No, it's been a fun experience, you know, to get to know these guys off the court and then, you know, kind of learn to play with them on the court. Because, you know, I was saying I haven't really played against much of these guys in my college career. So it was fun to play against them and see where they're at and see where I'm at. So it was a lot of fun, though. You know, it was a great atmosphere, great arena. You know, I've never played anywhere quite this big. So that was a great experience. So overall, it's been a lot of fun.
There's only a couple dozen English football players that have played in a place this big, probably.
Yeah, I know.
What's it like playing here?
It's incredible. You know, coming out on the court for the first time, I was a bit like, you know, just looking around, and there's a lot of space, you know. So, you know, I took some adjusting to my jump shot, but, I think I got there in the end. I didn't make as many shots in the game as I would have liked, but, you know, I had great fun.
How nice was this to be able to be selected to play this game, especially since you had some injury concerns this year, the beginning of the year, and then also another couple games as well. What was it like being selected to play in this game?
You know, I feel like it's kind of validated my hard work this season, because it was tough for me in our non-conference, missing all the games. So to, you know, work my way back to good health and then find a rhythm again and perform in the last stretch of the season, to then be selected for this kind of feels like, you know, it's like a thank you in a way. So I'm grateful to be selected, and I had a great experience here. So.
I know we haven't seen the games yet, but what's it like being part of this whole atmosphere of being at a Final Four, a huge stadium like this? Just in general, what's it like?
It was incredible. When I first walked in, and we were sitting down there signing a bunch of things for some fans, and I was just kind of looking around like, this is insane how big this place is, you know. And there's a crowd full of people to watch a practice, and it's not even a practice, it's a shoot around basically, you know. And it's fun to see how much people here really commit to this sport. Not quite so much in England, but it's, the Final Four is huge, yeah, and this is my first ever time being at one, you know. So it's been fun to see.
You've played now, today, tomorrow. You get to watch Lavelle.
Cavell.
Bigby Williams, obviously, yep, you know him pretty well.
Yeah.
Talk about what it's like for him to be playing at a tournament like this, you know. Kind of had a breakout the under 20s a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Played junior college last year, and now he's at Oregon.
Yeah.
And, you know, coach said, you know, maybe they expect him to play a big role. Just in general, talk about Bigby being here.
I mean, I have so much respect for Cavell. You know, I mean, when I first met him, he'd barely been playing basketball. He'd been playing for a couple of years and was extremely raw. And, you know, he's always been willing to learn, and he's always wanted to be good. So, you know, I'm just proud of him. He had a great year at Gillette in junior college, and he deserved to be at Oregon. So, because he's put the work in. You know, he's a hard-working dude, and I got a lot of love and respect for him. So, I'm proud of him, and it's good. It's also good for the country as well to see an Englishman in the Final Four, which hasn't happened for a while.
I was going to say, what's it like? What's it mean for GB basketball?
Yeah.
You know, fighting for funding and everything else. They have now two guys performing, let's say, at the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for the country, you know. I know he does, and as well as myself, we try to represent England and Great Britain the best we can while we're here in America. So he's lucky, you know. He's been fortunate to be on a great team this year, and they've had some tough wins. So you know, it's just great for the country to see an English born and raised player in the Final Four. So,
maybe just thoughts about your summer. Are you going to try to make it to Eurobasket this summer? What are your thoughts about playing for GB in Eurobasket?
I mean, I've always said from the start, I'd love to represent my country at the highest level possible. So that's something I've always wanted to do. But then again, I've also got to establish myself as a professional player this year. And that is my priority. You know, I've got to establish myself and focus on finding somewhere to play. And I still haven't signed an agent. You know, there's all these other things that I've got to think about before I think about GB. So, I mean, I would love to. I would definitely love to. If I get invited, fantastic. But I really need to focus on, you know, what I'm doing with my career. So,
so if you do play, it would mean that you have a club already set up. So what would it? Okay. It would be pretty cool feeling then also to just try out and then make the team then.
Yeah, I mean, there's an unexplainable pride that comes along with playing for your country that not many people get to experience, and I'm lucky enough to have done that at the junior level. But you know, that's not enough for me. I want to play for my country at the highest level I can, because my dad actually played basketball back in the day, and he never made a junior team, but he did play for the senior team, and I don't want to be the flip side of that.
All right, so, let's go with that, man. Franz Wagner, we're here at the Adidas Next Generation tournament. 2 years younger. Maybe thoughts about playing in a tournament like this with so many great players that have played here?
Great experience to compete with the older age. Obviously tough for me. Bigger people, stronger people, so gotta find a way to make my game efficient. So really great experience and yeah, great tournament.
You didn't seem overwhelmed. I mean, physically maybe a little bit, but you didn't seem overwhelmed. How did you feel like as far as belonging on the court with those guys?
Great teammates and great coaches that give me confidence in my skill set, and also obviously a lot of practice in Berlin, and so I was not overwhelmed. I just tried to compete and do my best.
But your brother played in this event too, yeah. Obviously in Belgrade. Did you ask him about him? What did he tell you about it?
He just told me to enjoy the tournament. Great experience and just enjoy it. So.
What were some of the moments that you're going to remember now? I mean, it's just over now, but I mean, some of the memories, guys you play against or whatever, that you're going to remember.
Playing against Barcelona, really, really great team, great players, and also guys standing next to the court, always cameras on. So new experience also for me to play in front of cameras,
doing interviews and stuff like that. How did you feel out there as far as your game goes? You said physically was the main thing, but as far as what you were able to do.
First, I was a bit overwhelmed. I thought I wasn't too aggressive, but just as the game went on, I tried to bring energy to the team and just try to compete. So it was hard for me, but I thought I did pretty well.
This is obviously a great preparation for you for both the NBBL, JBBL Final Four if you guys get there, but also definitely the summer at the under-16s in Podgorica. Talk about that. You guys have a good team. You Brunka, the kid at Bayern, Van Slotten. Talk about maybe what kind of expectations you have.
We want to compete also. I think my role is kind of to lead the team with the guys you mentioned. So, just play our best and try to be in the semifinal or so.
The under-18 team in Samsung, you know, people said they should win a medal.
Yeah.
Germany's producing talent now. Do you guys feel any pressure? Are you starting to feel any pressure saying, we need to do this now?
Yeah, a bit pressure maybe, but at the end we just got to compete and be tough. So also in crunch time, don't be shy. So play your game and be tough down the stretch.
Who do you see as some of the guys that, you know, we have mentioned Van Slotten, you know, we mentioned Brunka. Like, who do you see is really, you know, going to really play well?
The both guys, they played the last under-16 championship, so they kind of have more experience than the rest of the team, so I think they're going to lead us in some kind of way. So, but I also think the rest of the team is wants to play, and great guys, and it makes a lot of fun.
What would it mean for you to get the top 5 spot? Germany has been at a world championship but never qualified for a world championship.
Yeah.
What would it mean to sit in the top five?
It means a lot. Obviously, it's great to play against European teams, but I think it's a different level to play against the whole world. So to play against the USA, not that many chances to play them, so would be great, obviously.
What do you see as some of the top teams? It's going to be in Montenegro. Montenegro, we see one kid here from Montenegro. Who do you see as some of the top contenders?
Obviously, the home team has an advantage sometimes, but I think there's many big teams you play against, so I don't have any favorites at all.
Last question to come back to this tournament. How exciting is it to know that you might be able to come back next year and the year after that?
It's great. Now I know kind of how it's going, so now my expectation for the next year for myself is just to play a bigger role in the team and to compete better.
Actually, I do have one more question. Did you think that 16 points was going to be enough in a three-point shootout?
I never made so many in a three-point contest, but it's hard. But 17 points at the next one. So.
But it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks.
Colin, we're here at the Nike Hoop Summit.
Mm-hmm.
What are your I mean, obviously, there's a lot of prestige in this tournament. Your thoughts about being here?
Honestly, I feel like this is a great event just to play in front of all those scouts. We can show what we can do. And also, it's big just to have the teamwork and everybody for one goal and not everybody separate and trying to shine. So I felt like everybody was playing together. Everybody played as a team, and we got the victory today.
How much fun do you have playing basketball? It's fun watching you, even just in a scrimmage practice like this. You know, how much fun do you have?
Honestly, I have a whole lot of fun out there. I'm going to give my all while I'm out there. Why not? If I come in the gym, I want to work to my ability and show everybody what I can do. I feel like going out here and playing for a purpose and playing with passion for the game.
You were the MVP of the under-17 last year and got the championship. What were some of the biggest things you learned from that whole experience?
Well, honestly, I felt like it was great just to win that gold medal and then win for my country, because all the people that sacrificed for us just to be able to get on the court and play is very big. And then also, I felt like my family was there and they watched me, and it was just great.
Coach Showalter, you know, he's never lost at 16s and the 17s. And he's coached obviously some of the great, you know, great younger players in American basketball. What are some of the things you took from him and the experience of him on the sidelines?
To always give 110% while you're out there, and always play as a team and play as a one.
Some of the guys that you looked up to growing up?
I really didn't have no role models. I don't look up to people. I like watching, taking my stuff from my parents and my family, because they led the way for me, and also they make so many sacrifices just for me to get here and be a part of this. So I feel like I give all the credit to my parents just for raising me and raising me right.
Maybe just talk about how big of a goal it is for you to be in Cairo this summer with the under-19 European champion, World Cup.
It's in Cairo, Egypt,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that'll be pretty big, just the simple fact that I'll be able to get invited again to another event, because not everybody gets invited to it. So I feel like it's just great.
What would it be like to play at the tournament?
What does it feel like?
What would it feel like?
It'll feel great just to try to win another gold medal. You're going to do everything you can to win that gold medal. So I feel like it'll be great, because everybody, when we're there, we all have so much fun. And those times, you're not going to forget 10 years from down the road.
You know, you were at the World Cup. You know, you're here. You know, what are some of the things that you are impressed with what the people outside of the USA are doing?
I feel like I'm very impressed. I like taking little details from other people, as well as like if that's on the court, off the court, like community service. I like doing stuff like that.
All right, I'll let you go with that, man. Enjoy.
We're at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Maybe your thoughts about being here?
With my coach, very hope to me and want to me be a great basketball player. Something like that.
You played against CSK Moscow, you played against Žalgiris. Those are some of the biggest clubs in European basketball. What's it mean to play against those teams?
I can learn a lot of things from other teams. I can solve the problem I have and some stuff I have to keep learning.
What kind of things did you learn from those games?
My body is like not strong, and I can have a stronger with other bodies. I have to keep on my strong bodies.
Where you're from. This is your third year? Was it your fourth year?
Fourth year
in Spain. Yes. How did you come to Spain? Tell us about how you got there.
I was with my friend, so that here it would be great to get the basketball better. And my parents is very good, want me to be a great basketball player. With my coach, and I have been heard about this academy, and so I just first come here to take a look. That's a big week for me, so I stay like long time to with this academy.
Why not stay in China? What was the decision not to stay there? Why did you think I want to go somewhere else?
Cause in China they also have some good team wanting me to play, but in China that's different in the Europe. So I want to take a look in the Europe, how the Europe player to play. So when I go back China, I can also learn from China. So I will have the two stuff to kind of to make together. I can be good.
When you came to Spain, were you alone?
No, first time I come with my parents. After that week, they leave. I stay for 3 months. That's
it. At 10 years old?
11.
11 years old. So how was that? I mean, you're 11 years old. I can't even imagine being that many years away. And did you speak Spanish or English at all?
English, but first time was come, a little bit English I can understand it, but with my friends I learn from them, talk, ask, I can be great to talk with my friends.
The biggest difference between Chinese basketball and Spanish European basketball?
Like in China, they play with themselves, the teamwork is not so good. In Spain, there's a lot of movement and have a lot of team plays.
How easy is it to be with this club because there's the other Chinese guys there with you? How much easier does that make it for you?
It's not so easy, but it's,
what makes it easier, having these guys with you?
What can you tell us about your background? You know, where you're from, how long you've been playing basketball, and how you ended up at CBA?
You want to move on?
Yeah.
Where are you from? What city? In what city are you from?
Jiangsu.
From Jiangsu. Okay.
Yes.
Your 2002.
Yes.
Thoughts about playing national team? Is that something that you're thinking about at all? I mean, this year there's the under 16 Asia Championship. Is that something that you want to do?
Yes, I want to bring my team into the Spanish Championship. I kind of saw the other teams. We're gonna be better with our teams and with some. And the coach wants me to bring the teams to fight inside the Spanish Championship.
What about the Chinese national team?
I don't know. Maybe when I go back, I don't know.
Would you like to play for the Asian Championship 16s?
Yes, of course.
And have you talked to them at all?
No. Maybe my parents talk with them. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that'd be a chance for you to play the World Championship even.
Yeah, that's great for me. Maybe.
How did you start playing basketball? You know, you were 11 when you came over. When did you start playing basketball?
like some 7 or 6, something like that, when I touched the basketball.
And who were you watching? Which guys did you like?
Kobe.
Kobe. Because?
Because he's a great player, and I like it so much. He can do everything. Nice. Just good. No, great. I bet.
He's not playing now. Who are you watching now?
Kyrie Irving or something. Yes. KD, little bit. LeBron, not a lot.
Who do you think your game is similar to?
Maybe.
And do you come from a basketball background? A family played at all? My parents are both.
I don't know.
No. Brother, sisters? Do you have a brother, sisters at all that play basketball?
Yeah, my two little brothers that are playing, and they're so young, and they're gonna be great, I think.
And do you think they'll come over to Spain too?
I don't know. Maybe my parents want to stay in China.
And your goal, let's say 5 years from now, where do you want to be? You'll be 19. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
If in Europe, I can play in Europe. Maybe I'll play with Europe. If Chinese team want me to play with them, I will agree to play with them.
College,
maybe. I would succeed.
You played with Real Madrid. Were you on loan for?
Yes.
When was that? 2015? 14?
14. And 14.
How long was that?
15. It's 2 years. Sometimes if they play the same.
And what age was that? That was under 16? Under 14?
Yes, under 16. And 2 years ago, that's under 14.
And who did you play with from that team? So you played with Radoncic?
No, Usma.
Garuba.
Yes.
What do you think of him?
He's good. He's like strong, give it inside. I can take shots sometimes.
Big dude, huh?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, Ola, we're here at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. You guys had one victory, ended up in last place, but you had a victory. Could have been playing in the final. Tough first game. In general, maybe your thoughts about being in this competition?
I mean, it was fun. It was a good experience. The teams were good. Good experience for me. I didn't get to play so much, but it was fun.
Maybe in general, thoughts about playing at a high level like this? You know, so many great players have played in this tournament over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and the chance to play in this.
What was the question?
What's it like to play in a tournament at this level? I mean, all the great players that have played in this and
yeah,
could be able to...
It's cool. I mean, it's cool to see, like, the other teams, like Real Madrid, and see all the good players there. And just, you know that other good players who play in, like, EuroLeague now or NBA have played this tournament as well. So, I mean, yeah, you're blessed if you are here.
And it gives you a chance to kind of see where you're at too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Where do you think you're at?
I don't know. It's hard to say. We will see. But I think it's a step forward in the right direction anyway.
Maybe just talk a little bit about your background. Your father played national team for Sweden. Your brother's playing national team.
Yeah.
I guess your father moved to Istanbul for business, is that right? That's all I heard?
Yeah, we moved because he got a new job, so it was a good job opportunity for him. And then the basketball is much better in Turkey than it is in Sweden, so it was a good opportunity for me and my brother as well. So that's like the main reason.
And where were you guys in Sweden? Where? What city?
The name is Södertälje.
Södertälje.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Was there a reason for Dashavaka? I know you're Dashavaka and your brother's in Besiktas, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, my dad works for Scania, and Scania does some some business with Dosh, and Dosh is like Drosha Faka's main sponsor. So my dad talked to the Dosh people and they talked to the Dashka people, so like that's how we get to know with that's how I get to know with the Dashka people, because my dad works with their friends and stuff like that.
And your brother with Besiktasen, how'd that work out then?
It works out fine for him. He just got back from
ACL, right?
Yeah, he's ACL. So he just began to play, like, he had a training game 3 days ago, and that was his first, like, game since March, I think.
Okay. March of last year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great for him as well.
This summer, you guys, Sweden's back down in Division B. You just got up.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to keep it. Thoughts about this summer under 18 Division B?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna play yet. It's not decided. But if I'm gonna play, it's gonna be fun. It's always fun to play in the national team, to get to know all the people and play against other countries.
You'd have a chance to play maybe even with your brother. What would that be like, national team with your brother?
That would be fun. I've never done that before, not on the national team level. So yeah, that would be something new. It would be great.
It's a pretty good 99 generation. Thank you. It's a pretty good 99 generation with Lundqvist and Lemity and Edvardsen.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were up and then you guys were back down. You know, what do you think about chances to get back up there?
I don't know. I think we have a chance. It depends on the other teams and if all the good players are going to play in the national team. Some players are in the USA and some people are in like Germany. So it depends if all the people are going to come together this summer and play.
How important would it be for Swedish basketball to get to Division A? I mean, I know you guys are pushing the youth levels, and how important would it be to get back to the Division A?
It would be important. Why? I'm in the first generation who had stayed in the A group. So yeah, it would be nice. It would be a big step for Swedish basketball.
What about your future? I mean, you're here. Last question. What about? Maybe talk a little bit about your future. You know, you're here now in Turkey, and you're still 2000. Still have plenty of time.
Yeah, the plan is, I think we're gonna stay in Turkey for like 3 years, because that's like my dad's job contract. And if everything works out fine, we're gonna stay in Turkey, and then after that, I don't know. Hopefully, like, go to college or something. That would be nice after the high school. But I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
You don't have to know yet.
No.
All right, man.
Okay. Yeah. I need to get some writing done, so that I have some interviews for the next couple of weeks. Yeah, slowly but surely running out of interviews. Five this week. I think it was five last week too, wasn't it? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, so, you know, putting out two podcasts with five interviews each. You know, that's 10 interviews not available anymore in a 2 week two week span. So got to do a couple, and didn't do any interviews at Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Just too busy with. I did the video interviews for the EuroLeague, but didn't do any interviews outside. But I have interviews. Don't worry about it. You guys know me. So that's it for this week. Just need to let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called "The Valley Town" and is by Elliot Brood. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the probably last two games of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, I would imagine. I know Vince doesn't want to hear that, but. And then, so domestic playoffs are, you know, pretty much everywhere going on. So check out those. And I'll probably have a little bit of an update then on some of that stuff next week. We'll see. Until then, enjoy and be good. We'll catch you in a week's time.
Dario Šarić, you listen and take it to charge.